Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
And welcome back to Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, on Twitter at Ryan Recker. And KMOX.com/ONA, you can listen back to any of our shows, including this hour after it concludes, from the Wildlife Command Center, wildlifecommandcenter.com. Michael Barron, thank you so much for coming in to KMOX.
Yeah, it's a pleasure being here.
This is kind of a fun thing. I think most people have some fascination when it comes to animals. I think in St. Louis, a lot of people encounter some animals they want out of their home, and they normally don't know who to call. You're the type of guy they call.
We're the guys.
Yeah, you're the guys. What do? You just show up with gloves?
Yeah. Well, they call me Bare Hands Baran.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do. Absolutely.
Okay, so tell me the story of why they call you that.
Long time ago, I guess it comes down to this. You don't always have gloves on. You don't. But when you've got a raccoon running through somebody's kitchen at 3 o'clock in the morning, mm-hmm. you don't have time to actually go out to the truck, get gloves, get equipment, hold. You really just have to grab it and deal with it, you know? So
Bare Hands Baran.
Yeah, so that name really kind of stuck. You know, in my professional life, I sit on the board of directors for the National Wildlife Control Operators of America. Mm-hmm. They hate that name.
Why?
Well, because, you know, that's the National Wildlife Control Operators of America, very professional group.
Yes.
Catching animals with your bare hands is frowned upon. Mm-hmm. You could get hurt.
Sure.
Transfer disease, zoonotic diseases.
Yeah. What's the proper technique for catching, let's say, a squirrel?
So they actually make squirrel bite-proof gloves.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The problem is they're so big and bulky, it's hard to get them in. You know, like my lead technician, Andrew, tonight, when I was coming over here, he got a call. There's some animals in this commercial vent, and he went there to get it. He couldn't get his hand inside there with those big old bulky gloves. It's just impossible.
Does it look like what the Blues would wear on the ice?
Kind of, yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's harder. It feels harder. I used to play a lot of street hockey.
Yeah.
And you never wear gloves playing street hockey. And then you got whacked on the hands and you think, maybe I should get some gloves.
Black and blue knuckles.
Yeah. But then you realize it doesn't feel the same.
Right. Right.
When did you have an interest in catching animals?
Well, so I am that typical backwoods boy from Catahoula Swamp, Louisiana.
Yeah.
You know, that's where I'm from. And I spent a bunch of years as a nuclear weapons technician on submarines, and I used to work on nuclear missiles.
Is that right? For the military?
For the Navy.
Wow.
U.S. Navy.
Cool.
Yep. And when I got out of that submarine, could you imagine cruising around 700 feet underwater, mm-hmm. you don't get to interact with a whole lot of animals.
Right.
And that was part of my passion. It's part of how I grew up. And when I got out, I was like, man, I'm going to do something I want to do. You know, and it's a long roundabout trip we got around to finally starting my own company.
I'm assuming there's different animals to collect in Louisiana than there is in St. Louis.
There's a few different, but on the bigger scale of things, North America has North American animals.
Yeah.
You know, so they're the same. Of course, you know, we've got no alligators here.
That's a good thing.
But you can come to my office and you can play with an alligator.
Is that right?
Yeah,
what, you have an alligator pet?
Yeah, Mr. Snappy. Not even kidding.
Mr. Snappy.
we learned real quick not to put your fingers near his mouth.
Mr. Snappy. Do you take him out to the birthday parties?
Yes.
You do?
Mr. Snappy goes to birthday parties.
Wow.
He doesn't snap anymore.
Okay.
And when he was real young, you know, younger animals are a little more defensive, mm-hmm. trying to survive, you know, and so he was really, really snappy when he was little. But now he's like cool, you know.
Mr. Snappy's cool.
And a little bit of electric tape around the snout, you know, just to make sure.
Bare Hand Baran joining us in studio. This is the photo. It was posted, I think, on the St. Louis Reddit page, which was, I don't know if this was a circular or a flyer that you would put out. So animal birthday party coupon.
Right.
It says 2 hours, 2 ring-tailed lemurs, and 3 additional animals call for availability from the Wildlife Command Center. Expires December 31st, 2019. Do you do a lot of birthday parties?
Well, I wouldn't say we do a lot of birthday parties, but we do a good share of birthday parties, events, corporate events. You know, we do things like the Renaissance Fair and the Comic-Con, all those different things that get out there to help people interact with animals, you know, because we got two messages. One's education, and one is just, you know, conservation.
Yeah, well, that's good. I imagine, because we were talking about the Ghostbusters in the new movie that's coming out, and it's, you know, the original Ghostbusters, they're sitting there waiting for a phone call, and finally the receptionist gets a phone call, and they slam the button on the desk, and the bells start ringing. We got one! Is that what it's like when someone calls the command center when you need to go out and do a service call?
Well, except for the phones never stop ringing, and there's three of them in the office, and it's like one call after another after another.
Oh, really?
Yes. So we have seven trucks on the road just in the St. Louis area. Plus, we've got seven other offices like Reno, Nevada, and Albuquerque, New Mexico, Dallas, Texas.
Yeah,
so it never stops, never. 7 o'clock in the morning, Victoria gets up and she gets her cup of coffee and she's like on the phone immediately.
Yeah.
And the phones don't stop ringing until 7 p.m. They probably keep ringing. We just don't answer them.
The Wildlife Command Center, is this your business?
Yes.
And you've grown all these different locations.
We have. You know, we start in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And so everyone starts in St. Louis. We train people. And when they get to a certain maturity within the company and they need to have their own office, then we start looking, well, where do you want to go? Where do you want to spend the rest of your life? You know? And so that's how we've kind of branched out a little bit.
You're like Chick-fil-A. They do that too. You have
to
work for Chick-fil-A first, and then you get an option if you want to go start a franchise somewhere else.
Nice.
Yeah, that's how they do it.
Hey, it's a great way to do it.
Yeah.
Because that way you figure out if you really want it or not.
And then the people that are running these, they have the experience, and they get to move to another place. They're employing more people.
Exactly.
It helps out every community that you guys branch out to.
Yep.
That's really cool.
Yep, yep.
There's a demand anywhere for this.
It's crazy. You know, Dallas is probably the biggest market as far as population goes.
Mm-hmm.
But St. Louis is our biggest market because we've been here, you know, I've done events like this, you know, I've been on radio multiple times and as much as I can. So people are starting to really know us organically. Plus, you know, I really, really slammed the SEO on the online.
Yeah. How many people do you have following you on Facebook?
We're pressing up against 700,000.
That's so cool, man.
Yeah.
It's so cool. All right. So in St. Louis, what's like the top five things people call you for?
Well, we'll separate them out a little bit. So what's the top five scariest things people call us for?
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. So, like, the big thing is the creature that is unknown that's in the kitchen, and they don't want to open the door.
Right. I get that.
So that's the biggest one.
I get that.
And usually it's either a raccoon or a squirrel, you know?
Something big enough to make a lot of noise.
Right, right. Raccoons can really wreak havoc on a kitchen.
How does a raccoon get in a kitchen anyway?
It's crazy. You know, they get in the attic space first. I mean, you know, you see the Allstate, or is it Allstate with the guy that's always acting like something bad, and
he pretends
like he's a raccoon in the attic?
Oh, yeah.
And they love, and, you know, raccoons love that pink, fluffy, dry, nice, warm attic insulation. Once they get in the attic, then they accidentally get down into the house living space.
They fall through a hole that's somewhere between two walls or something, and the next thing you know, they can weasel their way in.
Sometimes they fall through the ceiling.
Yeah.
You know, like the drywall is weak in a spot, they step on it, they fall straight through.
Sometimes
it's like a hole was cut for a piece of like a hot water heater or something.
Anything.
And they redid it at some point when they remodeled where they left that hole in the ceiling because, you know, who cares? It's just a hole in the ceiling until a raccoon comes down it.
Yeah, exactly. At our house, we had a bat once and it's almost the same deal.
Yep.
And it surprised us. We had no idea. And I had those... You know, those noises maybe a couple of days before, and I thought, nah, that's just something outside.
Right.
And then it goes away, and you're like, yeah, it's just something outside.
Right.
And then next thing you know, it's late at night, we're sitting on the couch, my wife and I, and we see just a flash, and it's gone. I'm like, what was that? Was that like a big bug or something? Next thing you know, this thing's just cycling through our house.
Yeah.
And my wife's going crazy. She's hiding under a blanket, yelling and screaming. And I realized very quickly that we can't both sit there and hide and scream. The thing's not going to go away by itself.
That sounds exactly like every bat call we get on the phone every day.
Yeah. You know? Well, I was lucky enough. I opened up the back door and the front door, and I was hoping just go out, just leave. It didn't leave. I had the broom, and I was thinking I was going to, like, shoo it out the window or door. Shoo it. Didn't really work out either. One of the shoes got him, and he fell, and I was able to trap him on the floor and, like, hockey
push
him out.
You got some hockey skill, too.
I got very lucky. And then the bat was out, close the door real quick, lock up, tell the wife she can stop crying.
Right.
And then, you know, I peek out the door, and the bat's gone already, you know? So that was it. Now, we had friends who had a bat get into the house, and it, like, went to, I think, the top layer, the second floor of their home, and it was, like, behind a giant... not a pantry, you know, where they store their clothes.
Anwar?
Yeah, like that. And he couldn't reach it, and he said, I'm just going to let it be. It seems like it's comfortable. They just let the thing see itself out. It was there for days.
What?
Yeah, I couldn't understand how they could sleep with that thing.
It's probably dehydrated in their house somewhere.
Maybe. So you probably get a lot of calls like that. People are frantic. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, well, so two things. One, bats are always with other bats, mm-hmm. you know, so a lot of times there's a colony somewhere hidden within the home.
Oh, please.
Sometimes it's behind the chimney, sometimes it's in the attic, sometimes it's in the soffit. So we go in and we'll also remove the bat, but we look to see, is this the only problem? And how did it get in the first place?
Yeah.
You know, so we look all the way through to try to provide some type of resolution.
It was one of the scariest moments of my life. We got that ceiling hole where you have to get up the attic access.
Oh, no.
And I knew, like, he had to have got in.
Right.
It had to have been a soffit. And so I had this, like, really weak type of, like, sheet or whatever, like, the screening, and it didn't really block it off all that well.
Exactly.
And so I'm like, okay, I got to man up. I got to pop this thing up, and I got to stick my head up there. I don't know if there's going to be a whole colony of these things up there.
Like
but I know
bats and you're at it.
I know, but I got to check it out. Lucky enough, I went up there. I couldn't see anything else. I got the metal kind of screening, and then I just made sure it was completely covered and try to control so it wouldn't get back in.
Right.
I haven't had any problems since then. So,
nice.
That was, again, I had to man up on to stick your head up there. I don't know how you find the courage to do things like that. You do that all the time.
Yeah. After you do it for a while, you get used to it, you know?
I bet. All right, so let's talk more. We got to go to break. Bare Hands Baron. I think this is so cool. Michael Baron joining us in studio from the Wildlife Command Center, wildlifecommandcenter.com. Let's talk more about some of the things you've done professionally. You said you've done some TV shows. We'll do that after the break. It's Overnight America.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michael's Flooring, the flooring experts. Michael'sFlooringOutlet.com.
Bare Hand Baron. Love
it.
Welcome back to Overnight America.
In the studio.
Wildlife Command Center here in St. Louis, Missouri. WildlifeCommandCenter.com. But you're in many different... How many different states are you in?
So we're in 7 different states now.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
What was the name of your alligator, Chompy or
Mr. Snappy?
Mr. Snappy.
Yeah.
What's your lemur's name?
Well, we've got 5 lemurs.
Oh, really?
5 ringtail lemurs. Yeah. So Elijah is the youngest.
Mm-hmm.
He was our baby this year, and then we've got Queenie. She's the nicest.
Mm-hmm.
Then we've got Nellie. She's a little skittish, and then we got Velma and Roscoe, and they're rescues, mm-hmm. and they try to lure you in so they can bite you.
You know? Really?
Oh, they lure you in with cuteness. Like, they're just sitting on the side of the wall, and they're cute, and they make these little cute noises, and then when you get there, they go...
Whoa. You see that a lot. You're right. From experience, you know what you're getting into. What are some of the scariest things you have seen in St. Louis? Because you mentioned just real briefly that you had some scary things you've seen that you've been called out to take care of.
You know, everybody's really afraid of possums. Possums have big teeth.
Yeah.
And the one thing possum loves to do is defend himself and bluff you by showing you those teeth.
They make the noise, too.
Oh, yeah.
The big hiss noise or whatever.
Yeah. So, you know, sometimes it's not only the animal, but it's where are you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the other day, I climbed down into the sewer system, which looked like the Underground Railroad from the 1800s.
Where at?
It was north of here. You know that big area on the north side of the airport that mm-hmm. got knocked down by a tornado 10, 15 years ago? And there's nothing there now?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a sewer system under that, and it's expansive, and it's all older. It's all brick.
Yeah.
You know, like red brick mm-hmm. made out. And we thought we heard a kitten down in there. And so I was climbing around down in there with a flashlight, and it's pretty spooky sometimes.
Wait, you thought you heard it? No one called you? You just, like, stopped?
Yeah, so me and my technician, Scott, we were around, and we thought we heard a kitten, but it was not.
So you just hopped down in the sewer. Is it like the Ninja Turtles?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
It could have been. I was ready for Master Splinter to come out at any moment.
You see rats and things down there?
Hey, you know, a documentary I was in is called Rodents of Unusual Size. 78 awards it's won so far. And it's all about the 50-pound nutrias down in New Orleans.
50-pound what?
Nutria.
Nutria. What's the nutria?
So it's a semi-aquatic rat.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge. Well, they're not 50 pounds. Maybe 25, 30, but they're big.
It's a lot, yeah.
Yeah, they're huge. They're as big as my dog.
Yeah,
Dub.
I was going to say.
Yeah. So you can catch that rodents of unusual size at rodentsofunusualsize.tv,
mm-hmm.
and Amazon Prime just picked it up.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
You can rent it or watch it or buy it, Amazon Prime.
Well, you're called to different TV shows, movies, things like that. You're an actor yourself.
All right.
What are some different projects you've worked on?
So we did a lot of work with Breaking Bad out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. As a matter of fact, it's one of the reasons we kind of started that office there in Albuquerque, because Studio 25.
Mm-hmm.
We did a lot of work with that. As a matter of fact, we did so many shows that I can't even keep up with them.
Yeah.
You know, me and my wife are always searching, were you in that one? Yeah, I think I was in that one. You know,
what'd you do with Breaking Bad?
Originally we were hired. Because they have a lot of desert scenes mm-hmm. in the movie, about midway through all of the series in general,
yeah.
Season 3 and on, they did a lot of stuff out in the desert. And so the studio hired us to come in and keep the rattlesnakes and find the rattlesnakes, and if there was a rattlesnake, to deal with the rattlesnakes.
Right.
And so we were way out in the desert, and they had these huge, massive generators. I mean, one of them would have fit in the studio. That's
wow.
how big these generators
no
were.
No kidding.
And so when they were running, they had this deep frequency rumbling, and it made all the rattlesnakes come out of the sand.
Oh.
And so we were just constantly catching rattlesnakes on that
set. Wow.
So that's where we started, and then they needed a turtle at some point.
I remember that part of Breaking Bad, where the guy's head was on it.
Yeah, and then there's other things happen. You know, there's other things in the background that, unless you were on the set, and you know, it's just like one of those things that you semi-consciously know that an animal was there, and we would do some of that sort of thing.
Michael Baran joining us in studio with the Wildlife Command Center here in St. Louis. And it's fun. Do you get a lot of calls for acting gigs? Do you get a lot of calls for different movies, television shows? Because you said St. Louis even has a scene for that here.
St. Louis has a huge scene for it here. You know, I just recently was on a set with Bug Juice Productions. Mm-hmm. And because it's sort of like my favorite hobby is the zombie genre.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. I mean, even the kooky stuff. You know, like any zombie movie that comes out, I love to watch it. And so Bug Juice does a lot of stuff like that. So you get to dress up and, you know, the cosmetics and all that sort of thing. I like being on set, period. You know, I like a camera, I like mm-hmm. a microphone, mm-hmm. a little attention, you know, maybe I'm a little narcissistic, I don't know. But, you know, I operate within that. And in the St. Louis area has a lot of film production going on.
Hmm.
I mean, just amazing the number of things that are going on in the St. Louis area.
Now, you said that there's the elusive, everyone wants a TV show anymore.
Right.
So have you tried for that too?
Yeah, we're constantly working that angle. As a matter of fact, we've got some pretty good feelers out right now. We've been talking with A&E.
Great.
And so they've got something in mind that they want to use us for. And of course, you know, we do have a YouTube channel, mm-hmm. and so we work that. We just have so much great content that people are interested in seeing, you know.
Do you film when you go out and capture an animal?
Sometimes we do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes it happens so fast that if you're not prepared for it, you miss it.
Yeah.
You know. But I do have a person on staff that really likes video camera and mm-hmm. really likes that part of he's a technician. But sometimes we're like, you know what? Today, you're just going to follow us around with the camera.
Would you ever try to hunt for Bigfoot?
No.
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 That's not your thing.
No. No, no. I like reality.
You're not going to go out in the middle of nowhere, those arcs, and
now,
try to search for Bigfoot.
If somebody told me there was a zombie loose in St. Louis, I might go after that.
Oh, yeah. You're out the door. You're ready for
you know?
It. You're prepared for a zombie apocalypse? Do you have, like, the survival bunker all prepared?
Yes.
Yeah, so you're ready to go.
Yeah, I am guilty of being a prepper. You know?
That's great.
I'm ready for it.
Well, I want to talk about some of the other different areas, including mole removal, because everyone
right.
talks about that with their lawn. I want to talk to you about being a falconeer.
Sure.
Because I've heard a few things about what falconeers do.
Right.
And I want to see if it's true or not. So let's talk about that next. WildlifeCommandCenter.com is your website. You're in a bunch of different states, including based here in St. Louis, Missouri. Michael Baran will continue our conversation with him next on Overnight America KMOX. Overnight America, welcoming in Michael Baran. He's with the Wildlife Command Center. You can check it out online, wildlifecommandcenter.com. Thanks for spending the hour with us. I'm having a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I've heard something about what it takes to be a falconer, or falconer, as you say. But falconer, yeah. So I wanted to ask you this and tell me if this is true. So I've spoke to people about this, and they said falcons are their own thing. The only way you get them to come back to you is to lure them. So you have to put, like, meat on an end of a rope and swing it in the air to get the falcon to come back to you. Is that true?
So the general gist of that is true.
Oh,
yes.
Really? So yep. So you would go out there and you just swing meat up in the air and the falcon would come back to you.
You don't. So there's eagles. You can hunt with eagles. You can hunt with hawks.
Aww.
You can hunt with falcons. Mm-hmm. You know, and so falconers that are hunting with falcons. So they train their birds to what's a lure. It's just a piece of leather, mm-hmm. and they'll tie a piece of meat on it. But the falcon doesn't know when the meat's there or when it's not. So anytime you swing it, they come.
Right.
Regardless, because they're not going to miss the opportunity for a little meal or a little snack.
Sure, I get that.
Yeah, and then we use lures also to bring the birds out of the trees. We're out hunting with the hawks. They might be scattered, you know, close enough where we could see them, you know, 50, 75 yards away. We swing that lure, and all of a sudden they're like, Johnny, back to you.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Yeah. Now, you're at an expert level for this, aren't you? A master?
Right, master falconer.
That's kind of cool. What does it take to be a master falconer?
So, you know, in the United States, we've got a tiered process. You know, if you want to become a falconer, you have to find a master falconer and ask him to sponsor you. Spend 2 years of his life on you. And then after 2 years, you can upgrade to general class falconer. Then you can be a general class falconer for 5 years, and then you can upgrade to master class. And, you know, some of it is skill level.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it is how many birds you can have. Like, federal government regulates how many birds you can have.
Oh, I see.
State regulates how many birds you can have. And so as a master falconer, you can actually have an unlimited number of captive bred birds.
Whoa.
However, one person can only take care of two or three.
Right.
You just only have that much time.
Do you feel there's a lot of power in that? Like, if you got these falcons that are hanging around and they'll do what you tell them to do, that must feel pretty cool.
I don't know about that. If it wasn't, I don't feel powerful myself, you know. If it wasn't for Scott Huck and Corinne and some of the other people that helped me out, there's no way I could do what I do.
Your neighbors, do they love you or hate you?
Love us.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
We're good neighbors.
Good.
Yeah. Anytime people have problems, they call us right away.
Of course. That's cool.
You know.
I would imagine if you had a dispute with someone, you come out with a falcon, that changes their attitude pretty quick.
Oh, my. Yeah.
What do you hunt with? I mean, like, how do you use them in a hunting scenario?
So we don't use traditional guns, mm-hmm. or bow and arrows, or even knives for that matter. So it's definitely a fairer hunt,
mm-hmm.
you know. So it's animal against animal with human interaction, you know. So in St. Louis area, we hunt squirrels and rabbits mostly.
Hmm.
But there's also ducks available and quail, you know, and some of these different
quail?
Types of
we
things.
Quail? We have quail here.
Yeah.
Well, yep. How about that?
And you know, if we want to go for like a really good weekend, we'll head out west, like Dodge City, Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
They've got jackrabbits there and cottontails.
Wow.
And so we do that sort of thing. Plus, the further west you go, the more you run into pheasant and thing of that nature.
Yeah. The Wildlife Command Center, is there something you won't touch, as in someone calls you and they've got a problem and you say, oh boy, I don't think I can do that?
Oh, no, we're the last resort.
I mean,
if we can't help people, nobody can help them. There's nobody else. If we can't do it, there's nobody else to do it. You know, there's nobody else to pick up the pieces.
Yeah.
If you've got a green anaconda in your house, I'm the only person that's going to be able to come get it.
There are not anacondas in St. Louis.
That's a whole story.
Somebody's, are there really in St. Louis?
Somebody's pet. Maybe. Yeah.
What happened?
We did a job years back where there was a green anaconda involved,
mm-hmm.
and a widow in a house. So
that sounds dangerous.
It's definitely it's too long a story for radio, but we won. We caught the green anaconda. It wasn't that big. It was only about 6.5 feet long.
Okay,
you know,
not that long. Yeah. So,
well, we've got a reticulated python.
Mm-hmm.
Her name's Mama Lav, and she's pressing out of 18 feet.
Wow.
She's big around as your leg.
So what happens? Do people get these as pets and then they grow and they can't contain them or they can't take care of them anymore?
So there's a little bit of that. You know, we run a nonprofit group called Raptor Rescue, but we'll go rescue just about anything if it's in danger and if it really needs it. But there are groups around. There's reptile rescues in the area, and so that happens. Not often, but it happens enough to be noted.
Do you have a catchphrase? You show up to a site and you say you got like a catchphrase or anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely.
You do?
You look on the back of my jacket I'm wearing right now, it says, "We can catch it."
Yeah, you perfect.
Know? I know. That's why I like playing Pokemon Go.
You play?
I play Pokemon.
You play it in real life. You don't need the game for that.
Right? Yeah. That's right.
You're a licensed explosive technician, too?
Right.
What are the scenarios that would come in handy?
So we have an office in Little Rock, Arkansas, and a lot of times beavers will come in and they'll flood out a whole stand of timber. Well, the landowners and the timber companies don't like that because the water itself standing will kill all the trees and they have no harvest. And so we'll come in and we'll trap all of the beavers out humanely, and then we'll sequentially blow the dams out so that we can drain all the water out of the forest.
Wow. All of this is something that's...
It's worth a TV show,
don't
you think?
It's
got
to be a sight to see, honestly.
Don't
this
you think
would
it's
be
worth
like
a TV show?
I think it's worth a pilot, at least, to record this and see what it's all about.
Exactly.
You got the accent and everything, man. You can go in there, and I think people would be very fascinated in what you do on any given day.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, too. You know, I'm never bored, never.
I can imagine that. How many hours do you work a week?
Don't ask that question. My
Too
wife's
many.
Listening.
Too yeah. many.
Yeah. Not really. It's not even work, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes when you're doing, like if you're doing some home repairs and stuff like that, that is work. You know, raccoons busted out a soffit and you've caught the raccoon. You need to clean all that mess up and you need to make all those repairs. That is a lot of work. But, you know, some of the technicians like Tim and Andrew, they do a lot of that manual labor now and they relieve me of it.
You ever have to do like a stakeout where, you know, you're in the van and you're
waiting? Bat watch, yeah.
Bat watch,
yeah.
That's what you call it.
Bat watch.
Yeah. How does that work?
So Tim would tell you, he's my bat watch technician, I'll tell you. He'd get a lawn chair, get a cooler with some adult beverage in it, and you sit out and right at dusk and you watch where the bats come out. Where are the bats coming out from? How many bats are there? Is this a big problem? Is this a little problem? This would be a scenario where you really can't see the bats from inside. You know, like you were saying earlier, you poke your head up in there, you don't see anything. But you know that there's bats somewhere.
Yeah.
And so we do a bat watch.
Still one of the scariest moments of my life. I really had to give myself a pep talk. Got to do this. Got to do it for the family.
Right.
So you're probably well past that. You don't need to pep talk yourself. You show up and you say, all right, let's do this.
No. Now I'm to the point where I'm like, watch this. Hey, who's got a camera? Hey, turn your cell phone on. Let's watch this.
Hey, watch this.
I went up in an attic recently with a producer who had a camera. And he had a camera on me, you know. And we attempted to capture a raccoon in the attic. So there was a hole, and we had a trap over the hole, and we were either going to catch the run the raccoon out, okay, or I was going to catch it. And this raccoon had other plans. This raccoon knew of a back escape route that went down into the basement.
Of course,
So then we ended up catching it in the basement.
Of course. You know? They're very sneaky once they know.
Yeah.
They try to evade you like
they
that.
They got some survival instincts,
don't
man.
They, though? Do you get these people that want to work for you and they love the idea, but when they go out into the field for the first time, they realize, like, the reality of what they're about to do?
I don't think it's that. Like, I think the people that come to me that want to be falconers, want to get into this business, like, they're just crazy enough like me that they really know, like, what they're going to do. The few times, we've only lost, like, in the last 10, 12 years, we've only lost, like, a handful of people. You know, I think what really gets them is when they get to the mundane, you know, like they're chasing a mole around somebody's yard.
Yeah.
Yeah, then they're like, they can't capture this mole because it's underground and who knows where it's going to go next. So that kind of wears people. And then doing the home repairs, like some people don't understand how much repair work we have to do.
You do the repairs too, though.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting.
Yep.
Do you find that you have to, well, like what's an animal that you find that you would have, that would damage the home enough that you would require to repair afterwards? I mean, how big of an animal do you normally see do damage?
brown rat, black rat, flying squirrels. Those are your three small ones.
Yeah.
You know, and then it starts, fox squirrel does the most damage for squirrels. Red squirrels, we really don't have those here. Gray squirrels chew up wood like crazy. Mm-hmm. And then you got your raccoons and possums. Raccoons probably being the big one.
Yeah.
You know, they really do a lot of damage. But don't forget woodpeckers. Woodpeckers drive us crazy.
Hmm.
I mean, they in the St. Louis area, it is nuts how many woodpeckers there are.
Is that right?
Yeah, especially when we get a little bit west. You know, we start getting west of the 270 loop. Mm-hmm. You know, you get into Wildwood and some of those areas where it's a little bit more rural, but you still got plenty of homes.
Yeah.
Woodpeckers go from a tree to the house. They don't care. They don't know any different. You know?
What do you, they were just debating this earlier this weekend. I don't think it actually went to anywhere, but talking about all the deer in the county and, you know, St. Charles County and then, I guess, mostly areas west of St. Louis, there's so many deer that they were considering opening up bow hunting in the neighborhoods in order to try to control some of this population. What are your thoughts on things like that?
Well, so this is an unpopular opinion, mm-hmm. but there's way too many deer. Way too many deer.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, did you know that the most dangerous animal in North America that causes the most human death is the white-tailed deer?
Is that right?
Yes.
There's three deer that hang out in my neighborhood. I almost feel like they're someone's pets because I see them all the time.
No, they're not.
They're very comfortable, and they just walk around like they own the place, and there's no urgency to do anything. They just hang out.
Well, so there are processes and programs. Other states, other communities, other municipalities have put them in process and put them in place. But there's such thing as being qualified as a marksman for shooting in sensitive environments, which means between the houses.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
And I was listening to Charlie Brennan's show with Amy Markscores, and I think she lives out in the county, in the west part of the county, and she said that it's almost like it's going to happen. She said everyone she's known has hit a deer at some point in her life growing up because it's just there's so many of them around. They can't keep them under control.
Yeah.
Do you mind hanging around for one more segment?
Oh, yeah, sure. No problem.
This is awesome. WildlifeCommandCenter.com. You can find them online. Bare Hands Baran, you can get them on there. Michael Baran will continue with him on Overnight America KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michael's Flooring, the flooring experts. Michael'sFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
Welcome back. One more time, I want to thank our special guest this hour, Michael Baran, who's from the Wildlife Command Center, and you can look them up online. They went to your website. What would they find at your website, by the way?
A little bit of everything. You know, if you go to the very, very back pages, you'll see stuff about education and parties and events. And if you're on the front end of it, you know, you like say, what type of wildlife problems do you have that we can resolve?
There's a scene in Ghostbusters. You've seen that movie from the 80s, right?
Right.
The first Ghostbusters, where they get the call, and I don't know if it was a hotel, but they go in and they're like, oh, people are really worried. Can you discreetly get this ghost? So they go into the big room and they just completely tear this thing up. They catch the ghost. They come out and they're holding this ghost up, and the person said, I'm not paying for this. And he said, oh, do you want me to go put it back
in? Right, right.
Do you get those type of clients sometimes?
Yes.
Like, yo, you want me to go put
absolutely.
It back in?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh my gosh, yeah. You know, I forgot about that scene till you started describing it, and then I remembered exactly.
I gotta imagine that there's those certain instances where people give you a hard time or whatever it may be when you try to trap some of these animals they called you out to take care of, and you're thinking, okay, what's the alternative? I could go put it back.
No, you know what happens most of the time, and I'm very careful so that this doesn't happen, but it's where it's like your situation. You know, the bat was in your house and, you know, your wife's upset and you're upset and you don't really know how to deal with it safely. And so you end up having to call somebody. You call me and I tell you how much it's going to cost. And it's like, you really don't want to pay that much, but what's your alternatives, you know? And so I come out and it's like 2 minutes and I catch the thing, take it out. And all of a sudden, you don't want to pay for that.
Uh-huh.
You're like, oh, that was way too easy. I could have done that. You know?
But you didn't.
Right.
Yeah, didn't.
That's the whole key right there. You didn't.
What's
but, you know, when you consider this fact, okay, rabies shots cost $3,000 per shot, and you're getting seven at least.
Exactly, yeah.
You know? And so what's cheaper? Hiring a professional that knows what they're doing, that's already had all of his rabies shots, or trying to do it yourself, get bit, and the bat gets away. And then you've got to go get these rabies shots.
So that's like a workplace hazard for you. You just have to stay up to date with rabies shots.
Yeah, rabies shots and boosters. As a matter of fact, they won't even give me the series anymore.
Why is
like
that?
I can only get, so I've had, so my first set of rabies shots was in 1985 mm-hmm. when I was in the Navy. And my last set of rabies shots was fluke. But anyway, so now they just give me the boosters.
Wait, what do you need rabies shots for working on a submarine for?
Well, I was sitting on the dock,
yeah.
waiting for to go wash clothes, because uh-huh. when the submarine is up against the dock, all the facilities aren't available mm-hmm. on the submarine. And I felt something tap me. This is down in Kings Bay, Georgia. I felt something on my shoulder. I thought it was one of those great big 7-inch roaches they have around there, mm-hmm. palmetto bugs they call them. And so I went to slap it, and it was a raccoon, and he immediately just sliced my finger open and bit me.
Oh, no.
You know? Mm. And so we went, so it was a big ordeal. We get the base security guy, the base animal guy comes out, and when he gets down there, there's like 14 raccoons on the dock. And he's like, which one bit you? I was like, I don't know. You're getting shots.
Yeah, you have to. You know? When you work on these different movie sets, I'm assuming that what did they make sure you're up to date on your shots? What, like, what's the certification to be an animal handler on a movie set?
You know, so it's a lot of word of mouth.
Yeah.
For that particular thing, you know, there's a lot of phone calls. You know that commercial where it's how many phone calls make a movie? There's a lot of that going on.
Yeah.
But it, people know you, and once people work with us, they want to work with us again. And so, you know, in the film industry, people move from one project to the next, from yeah. one set to the next. And people know me. They're like, hey, yeah, I know the guy's got a ringtail lemur we can use, you know, or he's got an eagle owl, or he's got all the rattlesnakes in North America.
And when you have an animal that's friendly on the camera, like you were telling me off air, it's not cheap to do that, like to bring an animal and to have a trained animal to be part of a film.
Yeah, so we get a rental price for the animal for the day,
uh-huh.
and then we get a training hourly rate,
uh-huh.
you know, and sometimes that can be pretty extensive.
That's,
you know,
good,
pretty,
though.
Pretty expensive. It's good for me, yeah. I wish I could do more movies.
Scarce, you know, yeah. there's not a lot that are doing what you're doing.
No, there's probably 30 companies nationwide that do this, you know.
It doesn't seem like a lot.
It's not.
In 50 states, there's 30 companies doing
right,
this.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, most producers, most directors don't want to deal with animals on set.
Yeah.
Unpredictable, you know, it's expensive. You know, running a movie is expensive per minute.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Filming a movie. And so, you know, a lot of people don't want to, you know, it's like they say, small children and animals, don't mess with them.
All right. The website one more time is wildlifecommandcenter.com. People can look you up. You're on Facebook too. You got a big following on there,
yes.
which is really, really cool. I'm so glad you spent the entire hour hanging out with us here on Overnight America.
Has it been an hour already?
I know, it goes by so quick,
right?
Doesn't it?
Right.
You're so easy to talk to on this, and the topic is just fun in general. I guess next time I get a bat in the attic, I know who to call.
There you go.
WildlifeCommandCenter.com and Michael Baran. Thank you for coming on and having some fun. And I'm sure people can look you up online if they have any questions. Maybe drop you a message on Facebook or just WildlifeCommandCenter.com.
Facebook's the way to go. Yeah.
Thank you.